The question was asked, if we have the concept, oy la rasha, oy la shchino, woe to the wicked and his neighbor, that the neighbor automatically goes down with the wicked, so then what's the neighbor supposed to do? You're living there, that's your neighbor. So sometimes you can move, but sometimes you can't move, as in the desert, the tribe of Reuben couldn't move. So is it preordained that they would suffer because they were neighbors with Korach? So the rule we have is that things are not preordained. The Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin says, don't learn the book of Ben Sira. What's wrong with Ben Sira? Ben Sira says, okay, the guys on the video are going to have a blast with this. Ben Sira says, if you see a guy whose beard does this, yeah, so his beard is pulled in both directions. Yeah, you ever see people like that? Says Ben Sira, be careful, because that's a person that could take on the whole world. When you see someone that, why is his beard doing this? Because he's always doing this. He's always pulling his beard in both directions, trying to figure out how to outsmart everyone. So when you see someone whose beard is going in both directions, be careful. That's the biggest swindler in the world. He's so smart, he could take down anyone. So the Talmud says that's one of the stupid things it says in Ben Sira. Don't read Ben Sira. So the commentaries ask, what's wrong with reading Ben Sira? So some things are smart and some things are not. Explain the comment. Not true.
Some people said Kohelet, wasn't there a thing that they wanted to ban like Kohelet and Shira Shirim because half the Rabbanim thought it was Kfirat, but thought it was like...
Wrong.
Like
we'll look it up again, and that's not what it says.
I just love the
it's not what it says, I'm sorry. Look up the Gemara, look up the Mishnah and Yadayim, and then come back to me if that's what you think it says. Coming back to Ben Sira. So the Talmud, the commentaries on the Talmud tell us that there's an underlying theme that you might not catch. When you read Ben Sira, and Ben Sira tells you all kinds of ideas, like this one, that the beard defines Zal Vikan, the guy who has that split beard. He's so smart, he's a swindler, he can outsmart anyone. You end up walking away thinking that things are predetermined. He didn't say it. See, Ben Sira doesn't spell out his agenda. He doesn't spell out the things that are wrong in the underlying philosophy of Ben Sira. But as you read Ben Sira, you walk away having been affected by Ben Sira, thinking that there's predeterminism. You're limited. It's actually been defined just how pious or how wicked you're going to be. That's been defined already. Because that's the underlying theme of Ben Sira. It's one of the underlying problematic themes of Ben Sira. In other words, one of the fundamental themes of Judaism is, it's up to us. The Talmud says it could be a person has a tendency towards spilling blood. So he should be a butcher. He should be a moel. He could be a doctor. If a person has that tendency, he has to channel it the right places. No one's saying he can't do it. He's going to have that tendency. He has to realize it in the right direction. You have a guy who likes to be a nudnik, let him be a tax collector. Right? People have tendencies. Well, that they can express them in ways that are productive. Doesn't have to be that the tendency plays itself out negatively. So that idea is a key concept in Judaism. Every person has not only the possibility, but the responsibility to channel his behavior in a positive way. Okay? So, the Gaonim asked, when King David transgressed with Bathsheba, so God said, "Hineni mikim alecha ra mibeitecha," I will cause evil to grow out of your house. And how could we fault Avshalom for violating his father's wives? God had already said it would happen. So what did Avshalom do wrong? Explain the Gaonim, quoted in the Radak's commentary there, that God had not defined who would do it. And that's why the verse says, "V'Avshalom ekim lo yad." Avshalom established this as his lot, as his claim to fame in life. Someone was going to do it, but it didn't have to be him. Hashem decreed on David that this would happen to him. Who would do it? Well, it was hovering in the air, and the question is, who would fulfill it? So when we say that in Shamayim, even a prophet tells us something's going to happen. God told David through the prophet, Hineni mekim alecha ra mi beitecha. God told David, Ata asita baseter, you did it in privacy. Vani eseh, God says, but I'm going to do it opposite the sun, opposite all of Israel. Everyone's going to see how your wives are violated. So Hashem pre-warned David, it's going to happen. So did Avshalom have a choice? For sure Avshalom had a choice. The whole concept of a heavenly justice and that Hashem judges a person is predicated on the understanding that a person has free will. And therefore, when we come back to these concepts like Oy l'Rasha v'Oy l'Shcheino, no one predetermines that the neighbor is going to be affected. You have to have a choice. Will I affect him? Will he affect me? Will I be next to him? You see that there were three brothers, Datan, Aviram, On. Two died and one remained. There's always free will. The idea of Oy l'Rasha v'Oy l'Shcheino warns us that we have to be suspect. We have to be careful. We have to beware. If I have a neighbor like that, then it's far easier for a person to be dragged down. So a person has to be more careful. But no one decides in advance that a person will be destroyed by it. That's dependent on the person. Chazal warned us. And again, I gave you proof from a verse where the prophet says it. And you see, even though the prophet said it in advance. Now, there are more proofs, but the concept is a fundamental concept.
Why the Egyptians were punished.
Okay, that's what it says in the Midrash, that at the final year of servitude in Egypt, Pharaoh says, I'm not giving you hay. I'm not giving you straw. So the Midrash says, what happened? The Pasuk says, just before the plague started, Israel went around collecting straw. The Midrash says, what does it mean it went around collecting straw? Where were they collecting straw from? So the Midrash says, at night when they'd finish their work, they would start crawling around the Egyptian fields looking for straw that had fallen during the harvest. And the Egyptian would come out of his house and say, who's crawling in my field? And he'd pick up a baseball bat and start beating whoever he found in his field. And those days after Moshe came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I'm no longer giving you straw, and the Jews started going around the fields, Jews were being maimed repeatedly by Egyptians throughout the country because Jews were crawling throughout the fields because Pharaoh had said, I'm not giving you any more straw, you have to supply your own straw. So they went crawling for the straw, and then the private Egyptian would come out and beat them. So the question is, why did Hashem do this to them? So the answer, one of the answers that's given, is that until that moment, every Egyptian could say, I was just following orders. Pharaoh decided, I was following orders. But no one gave them orders to beat the Jews that came into their own fields. And so, just before the plague started, Hashem gave the Egyptians an opportunity to prove, were we just following orders, or were we partners in the crime? And that's what they proved. That's the Midrash.